It's our start time. So I'm going to introduce. This is Michael Harris. He's our speaker today. And Michael does a bunch of things. He's been on the War Room before, talking about Before You Act, which is a little sub group he runs. But today he's here to talk specifically about filmmaking and his philosophy that filmmaking gives us a way to share things with regular people and the ability of filmmaking to change the way people think. And he has a new screenplay that he's been working on, which I helped him edit, and it was fantastic. So I hope that that gets turned into something. Anyway, welcome, Michael, and
Thank you.
take it away.
My alarm clock's going off in the background. Give me one
Oh, that's
second.
fine. You can go shut off your alarm clock because that would drive you absolutely nuts. One time I rode all the way from Wichita, Kansas to St. Louis with a man who refused to wear his seatbelt. And so the entire trip, 7.5 hours, I think it took us, the entire trip, his beepy thing would go off and be like, beep, beep, beep. And then be like, beep, 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 beep. And then it would stop for a minute for 7.5 hours. Almost drove me nuts. And no one ever mentioned it. No one in the car ever said, put on your seatbelt or whatever. Anyway, hey, Michael.
Can I get sharing
Oh,
capabilities?
absolutely. Absolutely. Share post tools. It used to, there we go. Who can share? All participants. There you go. I think you should be able to share now.
Okay, great. So before I do share the screen, though, I just as a way of brief introduction about me, after 25, 26 years of advocating for changes in the law or for keeping laws from being quite so oppressive, and presenting all the facts to many people, it unfortunately occurred to me that facts don't change people, but change people's minds as much as stories do. You know, they're
That's
open to the facts much more after they've had a heart experience. So, after coming to that conclusion, I decided that since I am a filmmaker, that I would try and use some of those skills to change people's hearts and minds, and thereby open the dialogue to change. And so I created this company called Crucible 21 Ministries, which, if any of you have read the classic novel, The Crucible, you'll know where that name comes from, because I do very much equate our struggle to the same kind of things that were happening during the Salem witch trials. Anyway, with that said, I have created this screenplay that I believe will help change things. I also envision it going from the initial feature film to a TV series that can reinforce week after week the plight the registrants face. But in general, I'd like to maybe start by sharing just in general some ideas about film and how it does create social change and can change the dialogue around the registry. You know, the person, the main character in my screenplay finds himself, even though he had been a pretty well-to-do guy, homeless, even though he has a house he can go to, as happens with many of us. You know, we may have a home that we could go to were it not for distance restrictions and other restrictions placed on us. So this just kind of illustrates that plight. And it's important to note that policy follows perception and perception follows story. So if we can change the story, we can change the perception, which can change the dialogue. Most people, however, never encounter the issue firsthand, and stories become the reality then that drives the emotion, which drives the memory. The current or the dominant dialogue is that of the extreme cases that we see in the media, the one-sided dimensional portrayals, the fear that becomes the framework of our reality. And therefore, this is the message that people are getting today through the media that's out there. What's missing? Well, our daily lives, the realities of those, the family component, the structural barriers, and the long-term consequences. And so, what does film do? Well, film creates empathy. It shows continuity and it holds contradiction at bay. So, film doesn't excuse behavior, but it expands our understanding. And I think, well, I'll get to the, this is about my specific screenplay. It's about a young man who's permanently labeled a registrant. He has no clear path to redemption. And it very clearly shows the system versus survival, but in a satirical way that doesn't hit people over the head with the story, but gives them an opportunity to even laugh at the absurdity of the registry. You know, we've seen in the past that stories have changed many people's minds about different marginalized groups, and that's definitely what my intention is with this. And again, the story that I'm writing is about a young man permanently labeled as a sex offender who battles the unforgiving system through a satirical lens. Why this story matters? Because it humanizes without minimizing, it exposes systematic tension, and it invites conversation, not conclusion. And again, film can change culture and conversation and policy. So I'd encourage you to support stories that tell the truth, to partner with filmmakers, to share lived experiences, and to use film as a dialogue tool. How you can get involved, you can become an actor. We're looking for actors. We have a very diverse cast within the screenplay. You can become a member of the crew, even if you're not trained. We're happy to train people to make this on our minimal budget. You can support the project financially, and you can promote the idea to others who may be able to do one of the three things listed above. I did want to, let me reshare here. I did want to share with you as well a couple of clips, or at least a clip from a film you may have seen in the past that does exactly what we're talking about doing here. Let me see if I can find this clip real quick. Too many screens, not enough Indians. Let me look for that. Well, and if you had any questions you wanted to ask for the group, or if the group has any questions while I'm looking for the clip here.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Raise your hand if you have any questions. I'm gonna you go down to React, and one of the buttons says raise hand. I don't know if we have it set so that you can unmute yourself, or if I have to unmute you. Honestly, at this point in the thing, I don't mind if people are unmuted, so maybe I'll just start unmuting people. I mean, I just wanted to say that I read the screenplay. I thought it was just really well done. The main character used to be kind of a, you know, he had plenty of money. He was a real estate agent, and he sold, you know, fancy, expensive houses and got good, whatever they call what you take, the money that you
Commission.
take when you help sell a house. And he, I believe, he gets invited to a party by like a college friend of his, and ends up sleeping with someone who's underage, and who, of course, doesn't tell him that she's underage, and doesn't, you know, he's not. He does what so many of us do, which is, you know, fail to check the ID. And all of a sudden you realize, oh, snap, I just broke a law. So he gets put on the registry, and Michael's right, his mom dies somewhere in there, and so she gives him his house, but he's not allowed to live in that house because, you know, his PO doesn't like it. So she lets him go there and just like go there during the day and just sit in the house to sell it. And then after that, he ends up homeless. Yeah. Robert, you have your hand up. Robert H, you have a question? All right. Geo. Whoops. Asked. Wait. Shh, accidentally, I clicked mute. Okay. There we go.
Hi guys. Hello. I was
Hello.
just a little bit late. Hold on, I'm hearing myself in the on my computer and it's throwing me off. Just put it lower. Hi, this is really cool. I connected to the group via Danielle from the Shines group, and I've been trying to do this as well for forever, around a full-time job. And I have a background in film. I was a focus puller, and I miss it so much. Like
A
I
focus
miss
whatter?
just sorry, I gotta put
Focus
on the
puller.
frame again. Hello?
I don't know what a focus puller is.
Oh, okay. So my job was a first assistant camera, and my job was to help the operator, whoever it was, a director of photography or just a camera operator. My job in Florida for about 6 years was to help build the cameras, rent them out, make sure that they checked off everything. And my primary job once we were on set was to keep the image sharp. And it was like a very zen experience being connected to the action and making sure that the measurement on the lens matched the distance of the subject. It was really, really cool. But I fell. I'm on the registry here in Florida, and I'm trying to find my way back. So I am interested in being a crew member, an editor, whatever you need. I would love to be a part of this. So I'm here.
That's
I'm like, cool.
great.
We've
Yeah,
been,
me
I think we've
too.
been emailing back and forth. I can't remember. Indiana Voices. Is okay, it was you. Cool. Yeah, I'm just trying to stay connected. So just keep me updated in any way. And I'm trying to work on my projects too, if we could help each other. I'm on board with the same mission, man. So thank you.
Absolutely,
Nice. Still in
absolutely.
Florida, Gio?
Where in Florida? I'm in
You
Orlando.
still in Florida?
Yes.
Yes. Sorry about
Still in
that.
Florida, yeah.
Florida's, oof,
Yeah,
just
this is
not
yeah.
easy.
I've been trying to figure out ways to create content videos that we can tailor to certain lobby or certain legislators, tailoring the language specifically, for each one, and just because putting out one video for all of them, they all have different opinions, obviously. So it's well, predominantly the right wing, they have all, anti-registry, but there was like nine people that said no to the most recent registry law, the most recent residency restriction. So nine of them are Democrats, but they had some of them are really hard on crimes before. So, I don't know what shifted, but that's part of my hope one day is to find time to create content like this, humanizing the bringing the human to the headlines. And figuring out ways to tailor the language to them.
I
Yeah,
love
so
that.
this is super in line with what, God willing, what I'm trying to do here in Florida.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
All right,
just
I
to
see
expand
Robert and
on
Jim both have hands up, so whenever you're
just
ready
to
for them.
expand on what he was saying, most people think, who are used to using a camera think you just go out and point and it's a little bit bigger camera, but when are in film production, it takes multiple people to capture an image properly. And so the focus puller is making sure the image is in focus while the cameraman is pointing the camera, so to speak.
Oh, okay. All right. All
Yeah.
right. Can I unmute Robert?
Sure.
I think you're unmuted, but yet, why can't we hear him?
You unmuted me, I think.
I unmuted both of you,
Oh,
but
okay.
yet Robert is talking and he's unmuted. Chuck, you got any ideas? I think this must be on your end because on my end, it
Yeah,
says that.
he is unmuted, but probably he's got the wrong microphone selected or no microphone selected.
What could he? Fix that.
Down under audio, there's a little up arrow carrot thing. Click on it and find the audio settings.
Okay. Select microphone, select a speaker, microphone modes.
Yeah.
Well, how annoying. Well, Robert, until you figure that out, why don't you type your question in the chat and then we could just read it from the chat.
Right.
And how annoying. I'm sorry that that happened. And in the meantime, Jim, you're also unmuted while
Okay.
Robert types the question.
Two questions. Where and how do I apply for these positions that you're talking about?
I will put up a contact screen at the end, after we get done with the questions, and I show this clip here. I'll put up my contact screen for you.
All right. Thank you.
Michael, roughly where are you in Indiana? Because I do have one friend in Indiana.
Halfway between Fort Wayne and South Bend.
Well, for what it's worth, I'm still on there. I grew up in Indianapolis.
There you go. About 2.5 hours north of Indianapolis, but it
Yeah.
doesn't matter.
But I haven't been there in about 50 years, so
That's been a while. yeah, You'll be surprised.
Yeah, I'm sure I would.
And the chat is
So
disabled.
Oh, Chuck has to fix that, I think. Let me see.
you
Oh,
can.
there we go. Nope, he made me co-host, so now it's ready. I don't know why we can't just set that as our like default.
I'm going to go ahead and show this clip while we're waiting for our next question. So, as I said, there have been films over time that have changed the social dialogue on various issues. So here's one of them you might recognize.
Elliman Tetlow and Brown, and more specifically, Andrew Beckett.
Yes!
Bravo!
I sincerely appreciate your faith in my abilities.
Mr. Beckett!
How are you? What happened to your face?
I have AIDS.
Oh.
I'm seeking representation.
Do you want to sue Wyatt, Wheeler, Elliman, Tetlow, and Brown?
I was diagnosed with AIDS 8 months ago during a bout with pneumonia.
What's that in your forehead, pal?
Andy, everyone in this room is your friend.
I misplaced an important complaint. That's their story.
We've been talking it over. Your future, that is. And we feel that because we respect you so much, we must be honest with you.
Excuse me. Am I being fired?
Would you accept a client if you were constantly thinking, I don't want this person to touch me?
I have a case.
I don't want them to even breathe on me.
You don't want it for personal reasons.
Thank you. That's correct. I don't.
That's very disappointing.
Sir, wouldn't you be more comfortable in a research room?
No. Would it make you more comfortable?
Beckett, how you doing?
Counselor.
Did you find a lawyer?
There's going to be things said at the trial that are going to be hard for you to hear.
I want to know everything about his personal life. What deviant groups did he secretly belong to?
I didn't raise my kids to sit in the back of the bus.
Is Andrew Beckett the kind of lawyer who misplaces crucial documents?
An excellent lawyer.
Andrew Beckett is dying.
You were impressed with Andrew Beckett's work.
Andrew Beckett is angry.
What powerful force has caused him to change his mind?
And he wants someone to pay.
TriStar Pictures presents...
The law's been broken.
I just want what is fair, what is right.
You remember the law, don't you?
A Jonathan Demme picture.
So let's talk about what this case is really all about.
Did you fire Andrew Beckett because he had AIDS?
The general public's hatred, our loathing, our fear.
In this courtroom, Mr. Miller, justice is blind to matters of sexual orientation.
We don't live in this courtroom, no, do we?
Tom Hanks.
I love the law.
Denzel Washington.
Are you gay?
Objection!
In a story about our lives.
Oh, Mom, today's a good day.
Our fears.
Andy brought AIDS into our offices.
And our humanity.
I hate this case.
Philadelphia.
So, this one obviously, spoke to us about the HIV situation, but there have been many, many films that have spoken on issues that changed our mind from a social perspective on different issues. And that's, although my film is much more satirical than this, that's the kind of thing that we're trying to do here.
Your film may be not a true story. It's not a documentary, but to me, it felt very, very much like I've talked to many people who could tell me a story exactly like your character. It didn't feel not real.
Yeah. No, and it's not a documentary. I don't want to confuse folks. I've had people come to me and there is another filmmaker out here now that is trying to do a documentary, but that is absolutely not what I'm trying to do. This is more of a narrative film like you'd see in a theater that, tells a story that's based in reality, but is not in and of itself a factual account of any one specific person's life.
Now, there have been, I know Untouchable, that was a
documentary.
I thought that one was fantastic. If you haven't seen Untouchable, I thought one that was
definitely a good film. The Woodsman was a decent narrative film, a little bit less focused on, the plight of the individual and more on the system, but still a good one, So there are a number of films that have been made in the past. This one takes a little bit different approach and is, as I say, hopefully would become a series
Yeah, and more is better. Like more films highlighting what happens to a person on the registry.
And different people's stories, you know. Here's another one, Cuckoo's Nest, that highlighted, you know, the plight of psychiatric patients, Boys Don't Cry, transgender individuals, the accused, sexual assault survivors, Walking Dead, death row inmates, 12 Years a Slave, the African
Again,
American.
go slower because I'm writing these all down for fun.
Okay.
Dead Man Walking, 12 years. Okay, go on.
Crash. Racial and ethnic minorities, and a newer one, Moonlight, LGBTQ plus individuals, Florida Project, hidden homelessness families. So you can see this is, you know, there are films that have definitely changed the social dialogue on different subjects, and so that's why I think it's such a powerful medium to do that with.
Well, I completely agree. Robert, did you ever get your thing fixed? No? Okay, let me see if Robert put
There
his
are
question.
seven comments in the chat, though, I see.
Okay, there. Okay, so Robert may have been raising his hand to say, I think this is a step in the right direction. Has anyone considered doing a documentary? People tend to dismiss fiction, but with real stories, they have a hard time dismissing real stories. I think there have been documentaries. I think your film would be great.
Yeah, there are documentary. I mean, as Anne mentioned, Untouchable is a great documentary out there that does that. And there's the one from the guy that I mentioned that is working on a documentary that tells stories. You know, the difference for me is that even a documentary is more kind of in your face. Whereas if you have a narrative story that people can begin to really warm up to the characters and accept the story, you know, it just gives that it gives it another step of removal that kind of makes it more palatable for people initially. Both media, both forms of film serve their purpose. Both are good. One is a little bit more educational in terms of actual facts that are presented, which is the documentary. This is more a conglomerate character that represents many different people that have been placed on the registry.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Let's see. I agree. I think partners and children. So I've had this idea for a bit of doing a. Oh, Gia's got a hand up. Says it has to ask. I have to ask you to unmute.
Hi. This is cool. My strong suit, or what I actually focused on more in my career, was mainly documentaries. That's just the niche that I fell into. I never felt too strong in the narrative work. It just wasn't the path that was my strong suit. But I like the idea of using a narrative piece because it just feels safer in terms of like anonymity. So whoever chooses to be the actor can be portraying several stories of real life things that take place versus the documentary world. There's a lot of ethical concern and safety. You know, not everyone wants to be put out there, so that's kind of the challenge of trying to produce a documentary. I'm trying to work on a small one here with my roommates actually, but I have to. We got to blur their faces out, you know. So there's this element of not being able to fully express, you know, to show their expressions and things like that. And I think that the narrative will be really, really helpful. I've never been able to go in that direction because working in film, I just wanted a paycheck. So I just work on reality shows and documentaries and nothing artistic, not enough of it. And so, no, I'm on board with this because I never thought of a narrative being the stronger way to go in terms of character development and the acting. If it's framed where people know these are based on true stories, then it's going to be good. I think that'll be great. But cool, man. No, I just wanted to reflect on that because I found it challenging to try to go to the narrative route with these. But there's also challenges in the documentary world. It's very hard to find someone willing to put their full story out there.
Right.
Yeah, actually, I've been collecting names of people who would be willing to do. So I had an idea maybe a year ago to do a thing called Bravery Day, where I was going to gather little bits of stories. So I do have a list of people who are like, yeah, I'll speak on camera.
And be on camera. Okay. See,
Yeah,
like
like.
something simple is something I'd like to do is like just Zoom interviews and then overlay images and stuff.
I would love to connect with you to do that because I have a bunch of people who are willing to do videos, and then I get stuck with like, now what? Like, what do I do? Like, I need a team. And for a while, I kind of quit using I had a team, and then I kind of quit. My personal life kind of went to shit for a minute there.
Gotcha.
But
I think.
now I'm back on track, and I would love to start doing those. So
Okay.
I assume I have
Cool.
your email
And then
somewhere
a
too.
question for Michael directly. Where are you in this process? Like, are you just in the beginning stages, or like, do you have a crew yet, or?
No, I'm just in the beginning stages. I'm trying to identify people though, so I know what, because if we all work together, I do plan to pay people, but probably not industry standard, pay. So I need to know who I can, plus I want to use people that, are connected to the subject matter as much as possible, because it gives us jobs, and it also, keeps the continuity and the understanding within the family.
Okay.
So this is, this idea has been popping around in my head for years. But I actually applied for a grant that came up, whether I'll get the grant or not, but I did apply for a grant that is for untold stories. And if I got that grant, we would be in pretty good shape. Other than that, I have to raise the entire, budget for the film. I do
Okay,
have
cool.
a
The reason I
small.
ask
You get the
is
budget.
because
When do you
I
get the
have a
grant?
ton of I have a ton of accessories, camera accessories still, things that I've invested in, camera batteries, all kinds of knickknacks to build camera supports and camera carts, all in North Carolina with my mom. And so whenever the time comes, you have that gear free or whatever, like, or whatever you want to give me as a kit rental at that time. But I do have accessories for the camera department if we get there.
Excellent.
I sold my focus puller, so I don't need that. I don't have that. I
Well,
have for whatever size camera you get, I got small stuff, bigger stuff. So it's all with mom.
make sure you copy my contact information and just shoot me an email reminding me of that. And that way
Yep.
I'll keep it in my tickler list for when we get to that point. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool, man.
Okay, so you're giving people your emails. Yeah,
Can you see it on the
anybody
screen
who'd be
there?
willing to go on camera, I'd love your email.
Okay. I think we talk about doing something in that direction at one point too, Anne. So I'm happy to help with that. That's just I, this is this is another project, of course, that's passionate. Yeah. You are seeing my contact info, right?
Yes, everyone can see your
Oh, 21
email.
Crucible right there. Okay. Yeah, let me.
Okay, there we go. There's Megan. And I think I can look you up just to show up for this, but it's easier if I write it down right now. Yeah, when do you find out whether you get this grant, Michael?
I think we're a couple months out yet. The projected finish date on that particular grant to have the film, it would actually premiere at Tribeca Film Festival if I ended up getting that grant. And that's, I believe, I want to say October.
Yeah,
So.
there's a film festival in Missouri. It's in Columbia, Missouri, called True False. And I know they had a movie there. Might not have been this year, but last year, called Predator, something like that, where the premise was one of these
TV
gotcha
shows,
places. They were waiting in a room, waiting to like arrest this guy,
yeah, I've
and
heard of the movie.
he decided not to go. He turned around and went home, and they followed him home, walked up to his door, and he shot himself in the in, it was a yeah
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, you're in St. Louis. That's really cool, Megan. I will be in St. Louis next week for 2 weeks. I would love to have lunch.
Disable that so we can see each other. Anyway, I can put in the chat again too for anybody that didn't get it.
So I'm not a filmmaker. I don't know anything about this. Would all the people who are doing this film have to go to one place for a few days to film it, I assume?
Yes. Well, everybody that is going to participate in the actual production of the film or the shooting of the film. Now, if you're an editor, if you're a, potentially voiceover artist or something like that, then you wouldn't have to. But yeah, we would all have to be in the same place for a certain amount of time. And I would, part of the budget would be to put people up, unless, of course, somebody wanted to donate that as part of that, whatever. But,
I think
the,
you'll, I mean,
I don't,
I'll
I
donate
don't,
when you know what you have and don't have.
yeah, I don't expect people, I know we're all struggling to some, most of us are anyway. So I don't expect people to work totally for free, but I do think that, if you understand the potential of the project, then you may be willing to settle for less than you might otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, something like this, if you were making a movie about, airplanes, I don't think this group would be like, yes, let me help you. But this is a movie we all want made,
Yeah.
right? So,
Well, and it's like any part of this whole fight, it's the expense to do it largely falls on us. I know with, my Indiana Voices work, most of the expense to do that falls on me and comes out of my pocket, as I'm sure anybody that's running any sort of organization like that knows, So, if we all share the expense, we can get these kind of things done and make a dent and hopefully move each other along and improve each other's lives.
Megan put a thing on here about Manufacturing Criminals by Bonnie Burkhart. Bonnie has been on the War Room a bunch of times, so I've got several recordings. Yeah, got several recordings of her doing awesome stuff here.
Cool.
What's SANON? Sex Addicts Anonymous? Is that what that is for?
Partners of sex addicts, like
Oh.
Al-Anon.
That's cool. I didn't know there was such a thing. So, Geo is in North Carolina. Is that what I'm picking up from the chat?
No, I'm physically in Florida, but all my family's in North Carolina, and
Okay, that's I remember you saying something about your cameras were
All my
all your
accessories. I don't have
equipment.
an actual camera, but I have all of the accessories that you attach to
Yep.
cameras,
Yep.
support equipment in North Carolina. Yeah, just collecting dust for
Yeah.
now.
And
For now.
are you stuck in Florida for a while?
I have one more year of probation,
Okay.
so a little less than that, about 11 months now. So, God willing, I might just file a motion myself and ask the judge if I could get off early, hopefully. We'll see.
Gio, is your email in this chat?
Oh, not yet. I
Because
don't think I typed it.
I would love to connect with you also. And I think I could look it up, but I would rather not. Oh, okay. So someone's asking, can you describe the satirical angle a little?
Oh, that's a
Thank
good
you, Gio.
question.
Let me see. So I don't want to go into the actual story for more of, copyright purposes, but essentially it's more like a British comedy in that, it's the cumulative effect of what happens to this character that brings out the humor in it. It's just like, what's the saying? Reality is you can't make up reality. I mean, it's stranger than fiction, I guess that's the word I want to use. So, to me, that's what makes the comic element of it, is just that one thing after another happens to this guy. I mean, you would not believe that, for example, okay, he gets kicked out of his house and then he finds out he's got to live in a gated community similar to what's happened to people in Florida. And then he finds out he's got to stand in line for hours to register, like the 400 in Chicago. And it's all of these things, one thing piled on top of another, is what creates the comic element. That it's like, if it wasn't so if it wasn't so stupid, if I wasn't able to laugh at it, I'd be crying my eyes out because it's so stupid, you know, just the cumulative effect. So I don't know whether that really explains it. You kind of almost have to read it to understand it. But I don't know. Can you speak to the fact whether you found it found the satirical element evident in reading the screenplay in?
Oh yeah, I mean lots and lots of it just I don't know if, I don't know what the word satirical means exactly, but yeah, lots of humor, lots of oh you've got to be kidding me, a lot of yeah, just lots of if you weren't laughing you would be crying. Yeah. Okay, so someone's asking about remove wow from a former firefighter EMT nurse to somebody with a ankle monitor never getting off till you're 65. Wow. Yeah, I mean, and truly, like, I've been answering the helpline for 3 years now, and the number of calls I get that, yeah, you could totally imagine this could be your son, your partner, your dad, yourself. There's lots and lots of people who are nothing like what people are assuming of you.
Right. I did notice the number of people that put their emails in the chat. If those are for me, it would be really helpful if you could either email or text those to the numbers that I gave. That way I'll have them there, and maybe just a little note about who you are and what you're thinking you might want to do for a role. I mean, I can go through and try and copy these, but it would just really be helpful
Yes.
if you could
Just
send
send
them.
you an email. Yes, I got you. Okay. I am trying to add so many things at once because I'm in the same boat that you are. Like, ooh, there's all kinds of important information on there that I don't want to lose. So,
Right. There is a way to download it afterwards, but
yeah, and I will tell everybody how to do that, but I like to get it while it's showing here. Okay.
So do we have any other specific questions, or do you have any other questions you thought of, Anne, that might be good to address?
Where would you film probably close to where you live in Indiana? Is that your
That would be my ideal for multiple reasons. I mean, with the other film, which is just a regular thriller that I'm working on, I've been enticed to go to Ohio for a number of reasons, but that presents the logistical problem of then I have to register in that state, and so it's just easier for me to do it here in Indiana, which I realize that presents that same issue for anybody coming in out of state, but it's a little bit different when you're doing the casting and when your name is out there as part of the production. So not that people won't know who I am, but that's it just makes it easier in terms of getting the thing done. Plus, I'll be here for the whole project, and most actors and crew members would only be here for a couple of weeks, you know. So
Yeah. And do you have a, obviously you said it'd be a couple of months till you find out if you got this grant or not. If you do get the grant, do you have a rough guess on when you would actually be, like, I don't know how long it takes to do things like this.
this particular film, I believe we can shoot in about 2 to 3 weeks. I haven't really broken it down in that regard yet. I did budget it. The grant is actually for $1.2 million, so that would do it. If we don't get the grant, I'll probably try and film it for more like 100,000 or $100,000 to $300,000 range, just simply because that is probably what I would be able to raise to do that on my own. But the grant would certainly make the project at a higher level, a much higher level.
Yeah, the number of people I know who are serving time for parole violations, considering how difficult they make it to, follow all the bajillion rules, yeah, it's just crazy to me that people, a lot of times it'll be people who didn't even serve time for their first offense, right? 100 years, whatever, 20 years ago when you got arrested, you didn't serve any time. But now, because you like missed a deadline, now we're going to send you to prison. It's so obviously just a let's just keep these prisons full. We've got so many for-profit prisons. When they sign the contracts with a for-profit prison, They promise to keep the beds, 80% full, and crime is down.
It's
So they got to
nine.
make
It's
some stuff
90
up.
in. It's 90 in Indiana. 90% in a in the private prison that they guarantee beds will
Oh,
be 90%
great.
full at all times. So, and that's where I think people are going to be. That's where the "you got to be kidding me" factor comes in, that people just don't understand it, and they're
Right.
going.
And if you don't pay attention until it's your kid that gets affected.
Or the "is that really true? This can't be true. It's so insane. This can't be true," And then when people go and research it themselves and see, well, yeah, that's true. There may be a little bit of stretch of the truth in there, just because of the it because of that's what movies do. But it's predominantly factual in terms of what people go through.
Yeah, no, it is 100% factual. Yeah, and that's the other thing. So sometimes I get on prison, is it the Prison Policy Initiative? Is that a thing? Prison Policy Initiative. And they have all kinds of graphics of, how many people are in prison for each thing and how many people are in, state jails, and they have lots and lots of graphics. And I often am like looking in these graphics trying to find, all of our people. And it's really not apparent to me where they put them. So I don't think they just make a category called people with a sex offense and put that on the wheel, because I think if they did that, people would freak out. So I don't exactly know where they put everybody. But I would love to figure that out. Maybe I'll call them and ask. But I think that the people who know what's going on, I think they know that if everybody understood what's really happening with prisons, we would all freak out. So they have to make us feel like it's like that they're protecting us from danger. It's
Well,
very
sure.
important that they make us think they're protecting us from danger and not the cause of, that they themselves aren't the danger.
Well, they're doing theater as much as I am. It's what you
Is
can
the
sell.
Alabama Solution a movie, Megan? Yeah.
A documentary that was up for an Oscar this year. It's on HBO Max. It's fantastic.
Oh.
Which one is that?
The Alabama Solution.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
What's it about?
There is a prisoner, I guess, that had the ability to connect with all the other state prisons in Alabama and stage a 16-day strike. And Alabama decided that they would just stop feeding them and put the ringleader in solitary so he couldn't communicate with them anymore, and they gave up. But the lives that they live there and how Alabama treats their prison system, it was atrocious.
Wow. I Am Matthew is your podcast. So, Jeremy, are you the person a minute ago I said, what's the name of your podcast? I assume.
It might have been Robert. I was having some issues with Zoom cutting in and out. But Robert actually started the I Am Matthew podcast and then turned it into a ministry as well. So, I mean, they are two separate things, but
Would you
he's
like to come on the
as
war room?
registered.
Would you like to come on the
What's
war room
that?
sometime and tell us all about it?
Oh, absolutely.
Is my microphone
Absolutely.
working?
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, is my
Yes.
microphone actually working now? Yeah, I would love to come on and talk about it. I have absolutely no problem with that.
And you two are the ones that go together for this I Am Matthew podcast, Robert and
Yeah,
Jeremy.
yeah. Yep. He's on my board. I started it over about 2 years ago. Just a way to give some people some hope.
Yeah, I would love to hear all about that.
Okay.
I'm gonna just put my email in this chat and my phone number. And yeah, I'm pretty well booked right now. I think I'm booked till somewhere in May, maybe. But yeah, I would love to have you on. And where would I find this podcast? Are you on regular podcast
Yeah,
things?
you go anywhere where you like to listen to your favorite podcast, and I'm there.
Excellent. I'm gonna go look right now. I'm gonna add you to my list because I have a 7-hour drive tomorrow. What is it called? Matthew, something about Matthew. I Am Matthew.
I Am Matthew, that's correct.
Well, I suspect I'm gonna listen to some I Am Matthews tomorrow.
There you go.
Yeah, so basically, because Matthew was a tax collector and he was the most hated person of his time, well, in today's society, for registered sex offenders, we're the most hated people in society.
I always tell everybody that if Jesus would have ticked his 12 apostles today, it wouldn't have been Matthew, the IRS tax auditor. It would have been Matthew, the registered sex offender.
Yep. So true. Oh, and there is the Sundance Alabama solution. And we got a lot of good stuff in this chat. What came from Bonnie? Megan, you have something about this came from Bonnie? Hang on. I got to go find Megan. Megan. Somewhere in the chat, Megan, you say this came from Bonnie. What came from Bonnie?
Oh, the number one population in prison.
Oh.
Because okay. of all of these.
Stings and.
The stings, yeah. And her whole book, I mean, is about how they're manufacturing these.
Yeah,
like, absolutely. Picking people up without there actually even being an underage person involved in these situation at all.
Yep. There's no one there. Yeah, they go on adult dating sites, post a picture of an adult with an adult age. And then after you start chatting, all of a sudden they're 15.
And that's what happened to my partner.
Yep.
Now I'm a single mom, single income, with two kids under 10.
Well, have you connected to a CAGE, Citizens Against Government Entrapment, Megan?
I have signed up for every sex offender reform advocacy group that I could find.
Okay.
You know, it's funny because actually, that's pretty much what happened to me was the whole entrapment thing. Actually, in Florida, not too far from where Gio was over there in Polk County, Florida. That's pretty much all I got to say.
Bonnie also talks about how they have started planting pornography on people's phones when they go to the local station when they're picked up before they have a warrant, before they can even do anything with it. And that's happening a lot in Florida and Alabama. So don't give your phone up.
Michael, you were about to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, two things. I wanted to mention that we just had a law passed in Indiana that was titled grooming, and it identified a new crime, grooming, which is any repeated contact with a minor that could desensitize them toward future contact, sexual contact or activity. And the person who brought this law to attention that got it passed is dedicated to passing that in all 50 states.
And it already passed in Indiana?
In Indiana, yeah. There was another presence and an employment restriction tied to it, but it's the grooming part, I think, that's for sure making its way around the country. So I also did want to mention here before I forget, too, that David Smith, who is a lobbyist and helps run the Virginia affiliate of NARSOL, has created a film festival called In Thrive. I think I've mentioned it a couple times on here. And it's become a touring film festival, and we are doing it in South Bend on April the 11th. And what the In Thrive Film Festival does is celebrates the successes of previously incarcerated people. And so the films are either made by incarceration survivors themselves or reflect the authentic voice of incarceration survivors. So
it's called In Drive.
In Thrive. T-H-R-I-V-E.
And does it start with E? N Thrive or In?
In. As in I-N. Indiana, but not
okay. In Thrive.
Yeah. So and that will be in South Bend on April 11th at the St. Joe County Library Complex, the Leighton Auditorium, which is tied to the complex there. So it's not in the actual library, but in an adjoining building.
Wow.
So if you're near Indiana and want to come for that, we did it last year. It was really a great day, and people loved it. I'll send you the promo on it, and you can maybe share it with the group or whatever.
Yeah, I would be happy to share that with the group. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I want to go find this prison policy initiative and see if you can help me find them in here, like find us on these grids.
Trying to see if there are any more questions. Did anybody have any other questions they wanted to voice? Trying to read the chat.
Gio's got his hands up. Oh, sorry. I do that every time. Unmute yourself.
Okay. All good. Yeah, I think the what I loved most about filmmaking was the lighting and, you know, just like style. And I never developed the storytelling aspect. I got that later with my own documentary pursuits here and there. But just curious, like, as far as like a lighting crew or like, do you have someone in mind for lighting?
At this point, no, I really haven't. I've identified who I think will be the lead actor. Cool. But that is really the only, and it's, even that is not in stone, but at this point, but I'm very much looking for lighting people, camera people, people who are just grunts, people who want to drive, people who, you know, on a film crew, you need your food people. You got to keep people happy on the set. You got to have food.
You need crafty. Yeah.
Transportation, bringing people from the airport, you know, location scouts, all of that kind of stuff. So anybody that has any interest in any aspect of film, you know, if we can possibly use you in that department, we will. If we can't, we'll find a place for you elsewhere.
Man, like, you're bringing back some cool memories, because I went to Valencia Film School here in Orlando, Valencia College. And I did camera all through film school. And then I found out after college, I knew nothing. Like I had to start all over. I was bad because we were learning on older gear, right? And everything was new when I got out of school.
Right.
And so I worked my way up. I demoted myself and became a PA, production assistant, and just did every department. And the one that I came back to was camera, but I never perfected a craft of lighting. But now I'm an apprentice residential electrician. So I'm actually wiring houses right now. Pretty low pay, but I'm learning the essentials of electricity, electrical flow and all that. And yeah, I'd be interested in supporting, if possible, several departments if we need it. But I'm all on board. The reason I asked is because that's always been like my main interest was the director of photography role. Just whoever does the look, you know, the lighting, and it being a comedy, you know, I could see it almost being a, it isn't always like dark. So there's always like a kind of genre and a lighting that, a tone or a look that needs to be done for that. And
I
was just wondering if you knew anyone locally in Indiana who's a gaffer, you know, anyone who's a lighter.
I mean, I know people, but the thing is, as I say, I'd like to use as many of our people as if I can say our people. There's just a list, not that all of these positions would be available on this particular crew, but here's just kind of a list of some of the, you know, things that happen on a film crew. You got the production department, the producer, the executive producer, the line producer, all those people. You got the director and his folks. You got the camera department and their folks. You've got the lighting department and their folks, the sound department, the art department, costume and hair. And then you have post-production, and that's just an overview. And nowadays they have what they, here it is, digital image technician.
Yeah.
That's the person that keeps track of all the footage and labels it and make sure you got all that. Plus you've got, if you've got a marketing department, which I hope to have, you know, we'd have other extraneous film crews running around shooting interviews and shooting footage of behind the scenes and those kind of things that you can use in the promotion of the film. So there's a limitless amount of things people could do.
Someone asked the question, do you see, let's see, what was the question exactly? It was like, what obstacles do you see in getting this type of film to the public if you don't get the grant?
The money to make the film is the first one. I mean, you know, that if we can't find the money to make the film, then that's the first hurdle. There are so many distribution models nowadays, though, that I believe actually getting the film to the the public is not going to be the worst of the worst. Obviously, I'd like to see it on a Netflix or something like that, but you know, there are very successful things that are distributed on YouTube. There's successful things that are distributed on a pay-per-view method for, you know, through Vimeo. You know, there's private screenings on college campuses, and you know, there are many, going back to the documentaries nowadays make their money more from doing private screenings and an event type of situations than they do from actually doing something like PBS or Netflix or something like that. So there's a ton of ways that you can get this product out there to people. You know, and certainly we would use our own networks to
Of
build
course.
the buzz around the film. And you know, part of
Right.
that begins from day one that we're actually in the driver's seat with getting this thing going, just getting the word out and getting people to commit to buying a ticket or going to the theater if we did a theater, which you know, or film festivals more likely for theatrical release, you know, on this particular film. Just getting out there and filling seats to get the buzz going, because the more buzz that gets going at things like film festivals and the like, you know, just because if we wouldn't play Tribeca, it doesn't mean we're not going to play Slam Dance or something other than Tribeca. So you know, but largely it's the filmmaker's responsibility to film or to fill seats at those kind of events. So the more seats you fill, the more buzz you get, the more the critics start talking about it, and the more attention it gets, and then is when you get distribution deals and it really becomes more of a mainstream rollout with the product.
Yeah, and there's enough people on the registry now that, even if just all of us watch it and get 5 or 10 of our friends to watch it, that's a lot of people.
Exactly. You get 1 million people plus four family members each to watch the film, and you know, we got a good audience. So
Although, of course, it's not us that we really want to watch. We're making it for everybody else,
we,
but
that's true, but it also would educate family members in that situation, some of whom may or may not be aware, but also would increase buzz. And so if you've got, you know, a couple million people going to see a film, you're going to get the attention of other audiences, you know, and hopefully that would include the audiences that we want to hit, you know.
And you mentioned a lower amount if you don't get the grant that you thought you might be able to make it for less. Do you already have ideas for where you might fundraise if that happens? I
A
mean,
couple
obviously.
of them. I don't know that I could get the full budget from any one
No.
place, but certainly there are a couple of, I won't name names, but there are a couple of other organizations that I would go to. I would likely do a GoFundMe type of campaign and ask all of you to put in a buck or
I would be
three,
happy to,
you
I would
know.
be happy to, happy to share that far and wide.
You know, it, yeah, it's amazing how, you know, how far 20 bucks will go when 1 million people contribute
Yeah.
it or whatever, you know. So if we could get even 5% of that million to contribute 20 bucks each, it would give me some money to work with.
I mean, there's certainly lots of people who are super excited about something like this making it on films.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions?
Oh,
Gio, you
and
look like you're about to ask a question.
I would hit another funding aspect. I mean, you know, a lot of film funding comes from what they call soft money as well. So that would include, you know, asking a hotel to donate rooms, asking a restaurant to provide meals, you know, not having to pay for certain locations, getting your coffee to the set free, whatever. So there's a lot of ways that money that a film's budget can be reached without hard cash as well.
Yeah, me and Suzanne driving to Indiana and keeping you fed.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah, I've
gotten this nasty eating habit lately.
Yeah.
Was there another question, Anne, that you started to ask before I?
I started to see Gio like seem like he was raising his hand or making a move, but I don't know.
Yeah, it was a question, but it was more like a comment, really, or just a curiosity. So making it a satire, I think, as I'm thinking about it, it is that the word satirical? Satire, yes. Comedy, I think, is a great idea. I never thought of it, this topic being able to bring people in through comedy. And I think that's a very unique approach, because if people can laugh at it on both sides of it, you know, I could see that being a really good thing, you know, like,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I actually took a comedy writing class a couple of years ago, and that was the class when I actually laid out the structure of the comedy, of the screenplay, although I didn't write it at that time, and some other things came to me down the road. But when I presented it to my instructor as a possible comic piece to write, he said, "You're going to have to prove to me that this can be a comedy." And his comment after I submitted the outline of the screenplay was, "Well, you've proven that this can actually work as a comedy." So
cool, because that's you know, it's I'm trying to imagine it being like funny, and I think as you explained earlier, the moments of just things adding up and compounding and all that, yeah. And waiting in line and go. And like the reactions, like I think it's not so much
it was
just like the insanity of it can be something that could be like disarming for people, and I think that's the more I think about it, it's starting to kind of make more sense that comedy is probably the way to bridge both sides of this in a way. Normally the genre that's most common for this is documentary work, and it's normally, you know, very serious, and as it should be, you know, and that's just what we're used to seeing. So to see this angle, yeah, that's cool. I like the direction.
Well, the other thing about comedy is it bridges cultural barriers and language barriers. I mean, you see comics that are successful all over the world, whether people really understand English or not, right? So I think this, you know, and what that can do for us overseas is, you know, bring the attention to, you know, people like the human rights groups and United Nations and things like that, that think that then can bear some pressure on our system even to change things. So there are a million routes that this particular type of project can make that can have a positive impact, in my mind.
Yeah, it kind of feels like I think like British humor tends to be the genre that is kind of makes fun of the systems, you know, like where they all function within a system.
Yeah.
And that's the comedy. They're very, I don't think this is the you know, not the British humor in the flat sense, but I mean, what I like about British humor is that it's very self-aware of the system, and they all just follow it because that's what you do. And it's just the way that they approach comedy is all very systems based. So, and it works for them, you know, they all, you know.
Well, if you think about it, even Harry Potter was largely a comedy. he, you know, he dealt with some pretty heavy stuff, pretty heavy drama, but it largely had a ton of comic elements in it, you know?
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, comedy's hard, man. It's awesome.
So I feel like I have Jeremy. I think Jeremy put a message, put an email in the chat.
Okay.
I thought. And hopefully everybody does what you said and just email it directly to Michael, because Michael put his thing in the chat.
Somebody didn't like me, apparently. We have a hater.
You have a hater?
Apparently.
Already?
Yeah.
Like someone who's on this chat?
Apparently.
I'm thinking they don't quite understand the satirical point.
I think they came late.
Well,
yeah.
Guess that they say you're nobody until somebody hates you.
Oh yeah, yeah. I have a little subcategory called haters. Every once in a while, I get a.
If he was here,
then I might really be somebody.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, so I got Gio. Gio. The one person who I thought had acted like they wanted to connect, but I don't see a chat or I don't see an email yet was Robert. I don't think I got a Robert email.
Somebody asked if I'd reached out to other groups yet. I have not because this came out. This has come together fairly quickly, you know, in terms of writing the screenplay. I mean, up until, 2 months ago, I didn't have a screenplay. And all that came together as a result of this particular grant deadline that I had to meet. So I forced myself to do that. So I haven't even put together my pitch deck or any of that stuff yet. But I do intend to approach some of these other groups that someone mentioned in the chat as well for funding.
Good, good.
Says film it and they will come. Yeah, just got to get the money to film it. Thanks for the encouragement, y'all. That's very good.
Yeah, I think you won't have any problem getting people to come and work with you on it.
Yeah, appreciate that.
I will certainly eke out some time. You can't be that far from me. It's really hard keeping up with the chat because it's just constant.
It is, and I don't want to bore people by reading the chat. So if anybody, you know, shout out if you got something profound or even not so profound to say. Or...
Something profound. Well, Michael, I personally, I really want to thank you, man, for just daring to do this film. Like, I personally respect you for that, man. It's awesome, man. And, you know, and I've always felt the safer way would be documentary, but I'm really eager to see a narrative film on this. This is super cool. Thank you.
Yeah, I really think, you know, well, you know, and Crucible 21 Ministries was created not only to do film, but also to do theater, because theater is also a very powerful thing. You know, there was this play a couple of years ago called Downstate that was produced in Chicago by Steppenwolf Theater. And then I think they did it out in New York as well, and maybe a couple other places, but didn't quite get the broad distribution that that it probably should have. But it was a good dialogue increaser. So, you know, we need more artists working in all ways. You know, even just art itself can be used to for expression. We see that with all of the graphic art on buildings and things like that. You know, how do you feel when you see a piece of art on a building, or when you see a piece of art in a museum, or when you watch a movie that pulls those heartstrings, or see a play, or hear a piece of music? I mean, there's a ton of things that all of us that are artists can be doing. And then there are things that those of us who aren't artists who are supportive of us can do as well. So that's how we bring the community together. We collaborate, and we make a piece of something, an art piece of art or a piece of work that we all can share in the success of and feel good about the message that we're sending. So that's really what I want to do with it.
I can't wait to hear. That's a wrap.
I missed it. By the way, the rest of the people on this call are saying,
I can't hear you to hear that.
We need a budget for a rap party too.
Yeah,
I remember that. Oh, good time.
Did you have something, Jeremy?
Oh, no. I'm just excited about this film. I can't wait to see where it goes, who it touches. I mean, if it changes one person's mind or 1,000, I mean, it's worth it. I mean, it change starts somewhere, right? So,
right. Where are you located again?
Chillicothe, Missouri.
Okay.
It's a small town in North Missouri. So.
There you go.
And you were the one who said you sometimes go to St. Louis? think somewhere up there.
Yeah, so my daughters actually live up there with my ex. We're on good terms, so we stay the night up there throughout the weekend once a month and try to do more. It's just a long drive, and so
yeah.
But
I'm officially from St. Louis, but my partner just got transferred to Wichita, Kansas, so now I spend most of my time in Wichita, Kansas, but I go back to St. Louis to visit my daughter and
oh yeah, like yeah. Yeah, 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 that's awesome.
Okay, so someone asked for Michael's email again, so I put that in there, 21crucible@gmail.com. That's right, correct?
Yep.
Okay, he's not making a comedy. This is not a comedy. It's a real story, and they're just funny places. They're just places where he, I don't know, he just says something that's funny and silly, and it's not a comedy. It's not like...
It has comic elements.
Yes, comic elements.
But it's more like something you would, I don't know, see on, well, I don't even say Saturday Night Live, but, you know, Carol Burnett. You know, you can make fun of Gone with the Wind and still appreciate it or understand the underlying principles of it. You know, that's yes. Often how we deal with our world and how we deal with things that otherwise would impact us so harshly that we wouldn't be able to you know, why do people go insane? Because they can't see the humor in life often, or they can't, you know, break away from the seriousness of it. So if we keep pounding people over the head with the seriousness of it, or just the facts, and don't give them some means that they can relate to that includes elements of relief from the serious parts of what we're saying, then it's just much more difficult for people to internalize.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was very well written.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm just trying to make sure I didn't miss anything in the chat. We got 9 minutes. Anybody else have a question or comment? All right, well, then I suppose there's no reason we necessarily have to stay for another 7-8 minutes. No, so
they're dropping like flies.
Well, it happens. All right, so I do want to show, I want to tell everybody how to save the chat so that later on when you're like, oh, I thought I got an email for that person or whatever, you got a way to do it.
Thank you.
Let's make sure this last one wasn't a question. Okay, so if you look in, you go open up your chat, and there's three dots at the top, and you click on those three dots, and then it says save chat. And you won't see it for a minute, but then after the Zoom ends, there it will be, and it'll be no color, it'll be all very boring, but you'll at least have a way to see it all. So who is this David that James is seeing on April 18th? Is that the guy who's a filmmaker that you talked about earlier? Can you tell me a little more about this David person?
Yeah, David, it's the April 11th, who's...
The film festival.
The film festival in South Bend, Indiana. David is, as I say, runs or helps run, I'm not sure, the Virginia chapter of NARSAL. He also was just hired by NARSAL as a lobbyist for the organization.
Okay.
And he has started this particular film festival, mostly on the East Coast, Virginia area. However, he has taken it to a couple other adjoining states on the East Coast. I believe we're the first Midwestern state that he has brought the festival to. And this is our second year that he's bringing that. He puts the films together through submissions on Film Freeway, picks the films, puts the program together, helps set up most of what happens. We're also doing a thing. We were going to do something with Notre Dame. We weren't able to quite pull that off, but we're doing a private event at a local church. We're doing a fundraiser with a local recovery house out in South Bend as well, and then the main event of the festival on April the 11th, which is a Saturday.
And let's say a person is too far away from you to drive to Indiana to see these things. Will there be a way to like see them later on a different way?
I don't think David is doing virtual yet, because part of the experience is to kind of, well, part of the experience of film in general is to enjoy it with an audience, but also if you come together, there's a bit of discussion and there's just an atmosphere around a festival that is hard to see. I mean, some of these films you could see elsewhere. On the site, I will send you the website for the South Bend edition of the festival, and you'll be able to go through and read what.
So you can see all the names of all the films so that you can find them later.
Yes, there and you go.
Are these films all registry related? They couldn't possibly.
No. In fact, okay. I had a film in the festival last year that it has nothing to do with anything registry related.
Right. But he said he picks people who have been incarcerated or have some. Okay. Yeah. Now I remember what the connection is.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So if you're a filmmaker that has produced, that it has been incarcerated, you could submit a film about dogs and it may have a chance of playing in the festival. Yeah. You know, it's just the fact that you have been successful in creating this piece of work. You've done something beyond incarceration, and we want to celebrate that fact. Now, many of the films do focus around events that are important to us. Sure. But it's not just sex offenses either. It's incarceration.
Sure, of course. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, that I really like that.
There may be a film about homelessness, for example, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I get the connection now.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Well, mm-hmm. thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thanks for all your attention and all your fantastic Absolutely. Questions and all your willingness to help out, and look forward to private communications with you and keeping you informed about what's going on and moving forward.
Yeah. And as you get ready to like recruit a cast and all that stuff, you will send me stuff and I can send it out to my whole list.
Absolutely.
So if anybody who's on this meeting isn't already on my list, you know, mm-hmm. if you don't already get my emails, you can do that. I'm pretty sure you can make a donation of any amount and you'll get added to my list, but you can also sign up for War Rooms anytime by clicking on the link.
Well, and you know, as the people that do become involved, obviously at some point in time, we'll make the full script available to them to look at it. If you feel comfortable, great. If you don't, that's fine as well. But you know, we're not going to bring you into the project blind either. It's just that when you're doing a piece of art like this, you do try and keep the property somewhat insulated from the general public until it's out there. So
absolutely. Yeah. Well, I can't wait to come in. I don't know anything about films, but I can cook.
Okay. Well, that's a big step in the right direction. All right. Well, thanks.
All right. Love y'all.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.